Welcome to another opportunity to study the Word of God with us today. We'll look at the Word in just a moment or two, but before we do, I would like to remind you that it is very important that you write to us and let us know that you are receiving the program and the station over which you are receiving it. It does not take you a great deal of time to write that letter, but it is very important to us because we have a responsibility as good stewards of time and money which God has committed to our care. Therefore, it's very important for us to use that time and money in the areas where the message is being received and where hearts are receiving a blessing. For someday, we will have to give an account at the judgment seat of Christ for our ministry, and we need your help to determine its effectiveness. If you are receiving a blessing, write us a card or letter and let us know that the message is coming through and that it is meeting a need in your life. Our mailing address is given at the conclusion of the program. And now, it's time for us to pray together, as we do when we meet in this fashion, remembering all the wonderful promises of God upon which we rest. Mark, if we were to ask each of you today to give us some promise that has meant a great deal to you, I am sure that there would be promise after promise given to remind us that God is able. I love the thought of the Spirit of God in the letter to the Ephesians. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. I wonder sometimes if we don't shortchange ourselves and grieve the heart of God because we do not expect Him to do that much. Shall we pray together? Thank you, Father, once again for this privilege of praying together. How grateful we are that we know we are being heard at the throne of grace this very moment. Dear Lord, there are many needs today, many needs. We can't possibly know all of them, but you know, for you search the hearts of men, and you know what their need is. We just commit those needs to you today, asking you to meet them, not so much as we think of them, for so often we can be mistaken, but as you think of them.
And because you are our loving Father, we know that you will meet our need. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, we're studying together the Gospel of Matthew, and of late we are studying the message of John the Baptist. We said to you that the message of John the Baptist was a message of repentance. We said it was a message of rejection. We said it was a message of revelation. At the moment, we are thinking about the message of rejection as it was brought to our attention in the 10th verse of the 3rd chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, where the Spirit of God reminded us that every tree that is not bearing fruit must be cut down. These are the words, "And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." We're not speaking of the rejection of the Messiah by the nation of Israel, though certainly they did reject him. But we're speaking of the principle, and we used one scripture after another to verify the principle of the eternal Word of God, that God sometimes rejects men. If the fruit is not seen, the tree must come down. We gave you scriptures to illustrate this as an eternal principle. Today, I would like for you to look with me at a picture or two found elsewhere in the Word of God, which establishes this truth even more definitely in our hearts and in our minds. In the Old Testament, instead of a tree being emphasized, a vine is emphasized. A vine, however, that is not like our vine today, but actually more like a cedar tree. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1, "Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a wine press therein, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to. I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste. It shall be pruned, it shall not be pruned, nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds, that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, and behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry. Now, we're going to stop our reading right there of that marvelous portion of the Word of God, because it gives us the story that we need. The vineyard did not produce fruit. It did not produce the fruit that God intended. For 400 years, that fruit was not forthcoming. By that time, John the Baptist brought his message. Israel suffered. What is described in these verses, the breaking down of the wall and the removing of the protection and the removing of all the care that would ordinarily have been given to it. It was left without any care. It produced nothing, absolutely nothing at all. Now, go back to the New Testament with me for a moment. The Gospel of Luke. John the Baptizer emphasizes not the vine, but the tree. The walls are broken down. Nothing has happened. The time for judgment has arrived. And in Luke chapter 13, God waits a bit longer. For judgment is a strange work with God, and he never visits judgment unless there is no alternative. The Lord Jesus spoke a parable in Luke chapter 13, verse 6. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then he said unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And the dresser of the vineyard answered, said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it, and fertilize it. And if it bear fruit, wonderful. But if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. God was giving Israel, in the days of John the Baptizer, and in the days of Jesus Christ, 3 years. They had ministered to the tree, expecting to find fruit, and found none. It was time to cut it down. But the plea for mercy went up. Let me take care of the tree 1 year longer. Let me till the ground and fertilize the tree, and see if there will not be fruit, and if not then, God, do what you will. And that year, figuratively speaking, represented the ministry of the apostles. So in verse 10 of Matthew chapter 3, we have not only a principle, not only a picture, but a prophecy as well. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the tree. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Notice the first statement, please. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. The word also is not found in the original text. The original text reads, Now axe is laid unto the root of the trees. That in itself does not bring forth actual meanings in the verse in all of its thoroughness. But look at the word now.
And notice with me that it is the translation of the Greek word ede, which is better translated by the word already. Already the axe is laid to the root of the tree. But the phrase is laid needs a word of explanation, too. The phrase is laid is what we refer to in Greek as the perfect passive. It is the Greek word kiamai, used as the perfect passive of the Greek word tithemē. And the better translation is lies ready for use. So, we have in this text, this truth presented to us, already the axe lies ready for use. Our King James text says, the axe is laid under the root of the tree. And that would suggest that trouble has already begun. But we would like to remind you that the word unto is the translation of the Greek word pros, which may be translated at. And the suggestion is that the axe is not already that very moment ready to cut it down, but it's lying right there at the root of the tree, beside the tree, ready for use. Perhaps a better translation would be already the axe has been placed at the root of the trees and lies there ready for use. Weiss suggests the translation I've just shared with you, and it's a good one. John the Baptizer was saying to the nation of Israel, the axe of judgment is at the root of the tree. It is waiting for someone to pick it up and cut down the tree and cast the tree into the fire. Judgment is coming. God is ready to reject Israel. And so we have in the verse a prophecy as well as a principle and as well as a picture. The story of how that prophecy is literally fulfilled is found in Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11, which give to you the past, the present, and the future of the nation of Israel. John the Baptizer was saying that God was ready to remove these people from a place of service. Has he removed you? Will he remove you? Think about it.